So I want to start out with how this has affected student affairs. How has that division of Rutgers been affected in particular?
Well, there's a number of different ways. I mean, I don't think on one hand that we're different from others across the university, but on the other hand, we are in the business of serving students, in particular in person for the most part. And so this has really forced us to think innovatively and creatively as to how we can best do that in the current environment. So certainly there's the personal toll that this situation has taken on staff throughout the division. Obviously, like many of us, we're dealing with this. So there's that one part of it. So the Division of Student Affairs is comprised of a little bit of 1,000 staff members across a number of departments at the university, from dining to counseling, student centers, and the like. And so so obviously this has impacted people, and so that's one part of it. The other part of this is how do we continue to support students during this current pandemic? And so we've had to do that, continue to do that, and we've been very fortunate that we've been able to leverage technology to do that. So our counseling and student health professionals are seeing students virtually via video, and that's going well for the most part. Our new students have been leveraging WebEx and the like to work with students over any number of related issues that are impacting them at a particular point in time. And we've been using social distancing for those situations like the food pantry, for example, where we still have to be here in person and handing out food to students and doing that in a space that allows for social distancing. So we've been adapting, again, to try to support students who are being impacted by this. And so it's forced us to think about how we do and how we deliver services. So I think we've been able to do that in a very short period of time and do it effectively to support our students.
So I want to talk more about what you're doing personally, since you've been through a lot of tragedies in our nation's history. So what are you doing personally to help out students as well as just people in general during these times of uncertainty?
Well, personally, I think that the best thing that I can do, like everyone else, is to adhere to the guidance that we're being provided. And so I'm doing my part to do that by, for the most part, staying at home and keeping my distance from others. And so that's the number one thing. And then really working behind the scenes to stay in touch with people, to check in on them, to see how they're doing, whether it's family members and loved ones, to my staff, who are still plugging away behind the scenes to ensure that we're supporting the university and supporting our students. And so really behind the scenes checking on people, bringing them together virtually, providing information as timely as possible. We don't have all the answers, but and it's okay to say that at times, but at the same time, if and when we do have information, it's important to be able to share information. Because at this particular point in time, that's the most important thing that you can provide people, given all the unknowns that we're dealing with, both in the immediate, but also as we go into the future. And so I think those have been the things that I've been focusing on. Again, is doing my part as a citizen, just like everybody else, to checking in on people to see how they're doing and trying to be supportive of them behind the scenes. And then three, making sure that I'm sharing information in a timely fashion so that people have the information they need so that they can, one, best serve students, but also be in the best position to support our students.
So I want to talk a little more about your past experiences. Like I mentioned earlier, dealing with crises. You've been through 9/11 and Hurricane Sandy as a college administrator. How did those challenges compared to what we're dealing with right now?
They were unique and different. Certainly, they had their significant impact at that particular point in time. Certainly, 9/11 was a shock to the system in terms of how all that happened and how fast it happened. So certainly, we had to be responsive to that particular. I was at Bryan University at the time, and we had to be responsive to the community, given the overall shock that we were going through as a campus community, but also as a nation in light of what happened. Hurricane Sandy was a more of a regional event, and I happened to be working at the College of Staten Island, Staten Island, New York, which was hit hard, just like the Jersey Shore, for example. And there was a lot of devastation that happened there. The majority of students who attended the College of Staten Island were from Staten Island, New York, and so they were impacted in a very personal way, with many losing their homes, their personal belongings, not having a place to live, to go home to, as a, you know, as an entire family. And as a small institution, we didn't have a lot of resources, and so we really had to stretch the little resources that we had to support students as best we could. And so that was that experience. But again, it was a sort of a regional event, really hit home in a very personal way for many of our community members. And now we're dealing with this pandemic, which is unlike anything that we've experienced, that's nationwide, prolonged, and the end is not necessarily in sight in terms of not knowing what we're going to be able to get back to some sense of normality. And so this makes this pandemic very different. And so the psychological, mental health sort of toll related to this one here is going to be felt for some time, given, again, all the unknowns and what we're dealing with in terms of this pandemic that we can't, you know, see, but obviously we're experiencing it in so many different ways. You know, we saw the hurricane. We saw what it did. Visually, we experienced it. You know, same thing with 9/11, but this situation is different in that respect as well, is that it's something that, you know, we can't see. We see the people that are sick. We're keeping ourselves at a distance from others, but it's something that's out there that we need to acknowledge, but can't always see with our really own eyes. And so again, so this situation is very different in many different respects, but it's just a prolonged situation with no potential and in sight in terms of when we'll know when we can get back to some sense of normality.
You grew up with challenges you faced, obviously growing up in a two-bedroom home, as well as other challenges, as well as learning disabilities to get to where you are. How has your upbringing influenced your ability to get through times of hardship like what we're experiencing right now?
Well, I think that it's allowed me to maintain some sense of perspective and hope. And so certainly having gone through my own lived experience and having seen some of the things I've seen throughout my life, again, it just helps you have perspective and try to stay hopeful that we're going to get through this. And, you know, and with that perspective, it sort of forces you to account for your blessings. And so we're alive, fortunate to have the things that we have, to have shelter, to have food, to have water, to be able to step outdoors and recognize the warmth of the sun. So again, so it just sort of gives you a strong foundation from which to kind of sustain yourself during difficult times. And, you know, we're all humans, and certainly we need to experience the full range of emotions that any new situation presents us, whether it's this pandemic or any other types of tragedies or unfortunate situation in our lives. Certainly you have to go through that roller coaster of emotions, but it does, you know, my life experience, as I'm sure the life experience of many others, you know, provides you with a foundation for which to be able to stand on and be able to face the unknown that life sometimes brings you away. And so that's the main thing I would say, is just, you know, being able to maintain perspective, and knowing that, you know, that you're going to get through whatever the challenge is, even if you have to, again, experience that roller coaster of emotions, that's, you know, just part of human nature. And so, you know, we all hurt, we all feel, you know, are impacted by loss of human life, and we're all impacted by the struggles of others, as we see what many are experiencing right now during this current pandemic. So again, it just gives you a strong base to stand on, and it also gives you an appreciation for your own journey, but also an appreciation for the struggles and challenges that others are going through at this different point in time.
Going off of that, as someone who came from an upbringing met with challenges, what would you say to those who aren't as fortunate and who may be in an at-risk population located in a disadvantaged community?
Well, I mean, I think it's important that, you know, they continue to believe in themselves and that they continue to aspire for a better tomorrow, for achieving the goals that they want to achieve. It's certainly important to have good company, good people in your lives, and so to make sure that, you know, that you are identifying those individuals who can give you a sense of hope, that can give you a sense of direction, and they can be there with you during your journey. And so that that's all possible in time. Certainly, you know, it's always difficult when you are in the moment living through a particular situation. But that's when you really have to aspire to greater things, because that aspiration is just what's going to motivate you to continue to fight, to continue to stay focused, to continue to try to make good choices and good decisions as you're faced with the daily challenges of living and growing up, dealing with situations that are going to challenge you on a daily basis. And so so that's the number one thing I would say is, again, continue to hope and aspire for a better tomorrow, because, again, that keeping that your eyes on that prize is what's going to get you through the storm and into a calmer kind of sea, if I can use that analogy, a sort of working your way through a storm and getting them, breaking through that storm and into calm waters. And so, again, if you don't have that aspiration, that vision for what could be better, then it's going to be hard to even see past what you're dealing with in the immediate.
So a similar question, the same vein. A lot of Rutgers students are now at home in quarantine. You know, as their schooling's a little different, they're dealing with a teacher that's currently on a computer screen, and they're having to look into a webcam as opposed to in-person learning, and they're not with their friends and kind of living their own lives that they were looking forward to, as well as trying to achieve their dreams. What advice would you give to Rutgers students now in order to keep those goals in mind, as well as how to achieve them, especially to the graduating class of 2020 who may have been planning on looking for a job, who now may have to press the pause button on that?
Right. You know, that's a tough one. Certainly what doesn't, break you will make you stronger. And so certainly nobody anticipated that we would be in this situation at this particular point in time. Certainly my heart breaks for all of our seniors in particular. This should have been a spring semester where they were winding down, celebrating, looking forward to the future, enjoying all the different things that seniors enjoy at this time of year, the celebrations, their recognition for their achievements. And so it's very heartbreaking to think about how their final semester on the banks is culminating. And so but this will be a period in their lives that they're going to remember forever. And I'm confident that it's going to contribute to their coming out of this stronger with the type of perspective that's going to serve them well in their lives and as they transition to industry. Certainly, for everyone, they're going to be experiencing this in different ways. And so there are some students who are employed even as they wait to finish out the semester. Other students obviously have maybe lost out on opportunities because those businesses are not doing as well right now. And then other students continue to deal with the unknown. And so there's a broad range of experiences and emotions that seniors in particular are dealing with right now. And, being patient, being hopeful, having faith, believing in yourself. We are gonna get through this. The nation has gone through periods of time throughout its history where we've had to go through something really difficult and come out on the other side. I remember the downturn in the economy during the 2009 years, and how difficult that was for that particular generation of college students, where they saw their parents, for example, lose jobs, and how that then inspired them to go on and get their education. And so we're going to get through this, but you're going to have patience. You're going to have to be innovative and be creative. And really stay the course, and not let the current situation, put you down. Certainly, no one expected this, and but we're going to have to work through it. Whether it's us working with incoming students, or whether it's continuing to support our seniors as they graduate, certainly continue to work your networks. Certainly, career services here on campus will continue to be available to you even after you graduate, and so continue to be in touch with your faculty members, continue to be in touch with the various services here on campus. And again, continue to work on the alumni network. Rutgers has over 500,000 alumni out in the world, and they're all proud of their university, and will obviously be there to help fellow Scarlet Knights. And it's going to be tough for some, but again, we will get through this, and the important thing is to continue to maintain perspective. As I said earlier, it is a marathon and not a race. And so in some respects, this will play itself out for some students no different than it would have played itself out even when there wasn't a pandemic. Not every senior who graduates during normal times has a job waiting right after graduation. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time, even after you graduate, to finally figure out exactly what it is that you want to do. And so while there's a lot of uncertainty right now, and that can contribute to the angst that many are experiencing, I think it can help just to step back for a second and just continue to try to put things in perspective, that things will shake out accordingly, even if they're different. I mean, obviously, organizations and businesses probably will be operating differently for some period of time, and that's going to certainly have an impact on the employment of young people. But it's also going to have an impact on how we work with each other, and how we provide service, and how we do these things differently from how we've done it in the past. So this is an evolution, and we have to begin the process of rolling with it, so that we can see how things are going to be different going forward. But again, there's no words that can really do justice to how things have culminated for our seniors, both high school graduates, but also college graduates. This has really put things into a spin, but one that we can, again, certainly make good things out of it as you go forward. But again, my heart does, go out to our seniors. But again, I encourage them to stay hopeful, to be strong, and to, again, make the best of the situation going forward, because it is going to inform their character. It is going to inform their resiliency and, how they deal with difficult issues in the future. Again, back in 08, 09, that's almost, 12 years ago, that's when we had that we had that recession, economic recession back then. And so what's going to happen 12 years from now? I don't know, but it could certainly be something of this magnitude or lesser. But the lessons that our students are learning today will certainly serve them well 10 years, 12 years from now, when they're dealing with something else that's happening in our environment that makes things tough at that particular point in time.
So shifting gears a bit, here, there are some models predicting that there's going to be a second wave coming in the fall, and that social distancing may have to be continued. What protocols are being either put in place or being considered by student affairs in order to continue operating?
Well, the university as a whole right now is in the midst of having conversations about that. There's no information that I can share publicly. But we are giving thought to various scenarios in terms of the status of the university in the fall, whether that's no students back on campus, some students back on campus, and how we might need to operate under those conditions. And so certainly the one thing that I can say is that we're going to have to pay attention to social distancing. If, in fact, what you're saying about the second wave, you know, if it is true, we're not going to be able to do business as usual. And so we're really going to have to think through how people live with each other, how people go to class with each other, how people ride a bus with each other, and how people congregate with each other. And so certainly once we know better how the fall is going to look, we're going to then have to provide our community with some do's and don'ts and with some guidance. And so even if we have protocols in place, the most important thing is going to be the guidance that we provide our general community in terms of how we need to be with each other in the space that is Rutgers University in New Brunswick. And so again, so that's to come. We are giving thought to that right now. But once in the month ahead, we should have a better sense of what the fall is going to look like. And then based on that, we'll be in a position to put forward what those protocols and guidelines are going to be for us to be able to be up and running for the fall semester. But again, we don't know yet if we're going to be back to normal, where we can only be able to have some of our students back, or whether we're going to have to be fully remote in the fall. So those are things we're still waiting on as we continue to monitor things out there.
Keeping in the mind the fact that you're still considering a lot of things, one of the big things that Student Affairs does is be involved with student organizations. Now, student organizations, the big thing of what they do in the fall semester is recruiting. So how can these student organizations, one, function at all in these scenarios, and two, do recruiting in the event that they have to go back to campus in the fall, or they don't actually go back to campus in the fall, considering the fact that this is a big time when freshmen come in, they're looking for possible organizations to get involved, and how can they still have that same impact, you know, since in person they have the involvement fair, and that may not necessarily happen. How can these organizations still interact and engage with new students if they're not in person?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, certainly there's no substitute for in-person activities. I mean, that's just human nature. And so there's no substitute for that. And so there's any number of lessons that we're currently learning on the fly from what we've been doing this spring. It's been pretty amazing to see how the Division of Student Affairs, but also other departments across the university have been leveraging technology to really connect students. And so I know that we've done a number of events and programs virtually that have really connected students. It's been amazing to be on a WebEx conference call with 15 students and see them all at the same time and facilitating that kind of engagement. So again, so it's not the same as being able to walk down College Avenue and having the 1,000 student organizations that are out there representing their organizations with their pride and the giveaways and the you know, the sights and sounds of the involvement fair. There's nothing that can replace that. But certainly, depending on how we're going to begin the fall, we'll be ready to facilitate some level of connection and to certainly make students aware of what opportunities are available to them, and then for us to be able to support them behind the scenes with the use of technology as best we can. And so students are pretty adept already in terms of the technology. Oftentimes, students are not even meeting in person anymore. They're already meeting virtually. These are things we know from the last several years, especially on our campus where we have, you know, the various campuses. And so it's more efficient for students to meet via video conference rather than everyone traveling all the way to Bush campus at 10 o'clock at night for in-person meetings. And so we take nothing away from the in-person meeting, but at the same time, we know that we can leverage technology to help students stay connected around common interests and things that are, you know, are of interest to them. And so we'll be leveraging that. And I think there's some lessons that we learned from the past spring in terms of what we've seen happen that can still be of value to students. And we'll look to stepping that up as best we can for the fall. But yes, as I said earlier, there's no substitute for in-person interactions and engagement. Again, we are humans and we do seek those types of interactions and connections with each other. But again, just like virtual learning, we'll be doing the same thing to help students connect with one another. But again, the students are already adept at doing that because they've been at it for some time, whether it's the use of social media and the different groups that you can create through social media, to the technology that we're currently using, that they've been using for some time. And so we look to being on their journey with them when the fall comes around.
President Barchi recently announced budget cuts for the university. Is student affairs affected by that? And if so, are there anything that you and student affairs as a whole is going to have to cut back on?
I don't know in terms of specifics, but certainly we're going to have to evaluate the resources that we do have. The university is evolving, and so if students are not on campus, then we need to ask ourselves, you know, do we need the resources that we have to provide the service that we need to provide if students are not back on campus? If students are back on campus, then we need to evaluate the resources we have and say, do we have the resources we need to be able to support the students that are on campus, and then everything else in between. So this is going to be a constant state of evaluating the resources that we have and the resources that we need and the resources that we can do without, depending how the university is operating going into the future. So certainly the university has been impacted significantly as a result of this pandemic from a financial perspective, and we're part of the university, and so we're going to have to do what we need to do to, one, be able to support Louisville University, but two, also to be able to provide a level of service to our students that they need to be successful in whatever scenario we find ourselves in going into the fall and the year ahead.
So just talking about Rutgers students in general, what is the best thing they can do right now, whether it's finishing up their schoolwork from an academic perspective, or how to interact with maybe their friends that they don't always see? What's the best thing they can do right now in times where it may not, you know, things can't proceed as normal?
Well, I think, again, they have to try to stay grounded as best possible, and that can mean any number of things. It could be, you know, in terms of their faith, in terms of their love for their family, or just kind of, you know, they're being optimistic about a better tomorrow. I mean, I think that they have to do their best under the circumstances to stay connected with loved ones, to stay connected with their friends, and to, you know, maintain perspective, because, again, that's what's going to help them get through the day. Because otherwise, you know, this current situation that we find ourselves in has the potential to really challenge us, even the strongest of us are being challenged by this current pandemic. You know, even despite my own upbringing and the things that I share with you, I'm being challenged by this current situation in a number of different ways. And so we're all humans. And so again, so the best thing that I can tell them is to, again, just to stay hopeful, count your blessings, work at staying connected with those that are important to you, do your part to keep everyone safe. And again, hopefully that's going to then allow us to get to that better place once we can get to a better sense of normality. But this is going to be life-changing for all of us. And we're going to be dealing with the fallout and the sort of the emotional, impact that this has had on us for some time. And so this is not a race, it's a marathon. And it's impacting all of us in different and similar ways. And so, so there's a little bit of comfort in knowing that we're going through this together. But on the other hand, this is also impacting us individually as well. So we have to account for that. And we have to be able to ask each other how we're doing and seek to understand. Because, again, we're not all the same. And we all have our unique context as well. So, so again, the people, we just need to do our best to be patient and just count our blessings, regardless of what our situations are, so that we can not let this overall situation get the best of us. Because again, I mean, there's still days and weeks and months ahead that we don't even know how they're going to play themselves out, and so we need to continue to brace ourselves and be in a good position for the long run.